Hi, this is Michael Klosser, back again with another podcast. And I'm kind of focusing on the Word of God. To me, the Word of God is more important than my opinion or your opinion or anybody else's a slick salesman talk and that kind of stuff. The Word of God is a vital thing for us. And so I'll always focus on the Word of God. If you ever tune into my podcast, I will always have something in the Word of God. And so my purpose in the body of Christ, I believe, is to share the Word of God with people. Amen. And today I'm going to talk about something that's been kind of an intriguing scripture for me. It's found in 1 John chapter 1. We'll read it here in just a moment. But it's been something that I recognize it as significant, and I just want to talk about it and perhaps learn something new about it today. Okay, thank you. So I'll begin reading at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. Isn't that amazing? He says, we've looked upon it, our hands have handled the word of life. Amen. How can he look upon the word of life, see the word of life with their eyes, handle the word of life, when the word is actually an invisible abstract thing? Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. You see, we live in this world, and I term it as temporary life. The world that we live in now is a temporary life. But Jesus has opened a way through God, through Jesus Christ, there is a way opened unto us to enter into eternal life. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to bring us eternal life. And he says, we've looked upon this word of life that's come to this earth, and we've handled it. We've seen it with our eyes. We've touched it with our hands. It was manifested for us. He goes on in verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the source of eternal life for all humans on the earth, God the Father and Jesus Christ. And the apostle that's writing the scripture is saying, this is what we're connected with. This is what we have fellowship with. And he says, we want to share it with you. Verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He takes a couple of verses to get to that verse 5, and that verse 5 is sort of a climax statement. He says, we're connected with the Father. We're connected with Jesus Christ, and you can come and join with us too and share in our fellowship and share in our relationship with him. And he said, the things that we're writing onto you, we're writing onto you to let you know that this is what we heard from him. The word of life came to us. He manifested to us. We talked with him. We handled him with our hands. We looked upon him and everything. And we've come to tell you one thing. Let me declare one thing unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I'm intrigued by that. It's sort of like a crescendo statement, the final statement. Tell us what this relationship with the Father and with the Son and eternal life. Tell us what is it that we need to know. And he says, here's the thing you need to know. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. This concept sets my mind a reeling like, wow, no darkness at all. In him is light. He is light. And there's no darkness at all in him. None at all in him. And my first thought came to my thought about John chapter 14. Let me read it to you. John chapter 14, Jesus is talking to his disciples and he's telling them that he's going to leave and that the Spirit will come, the Holy Spirit will come and deal with Christianity for you. I won't be here, but he'll be here. And then in verse 30, he reads, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. And I thought, well, if there's no darkness in him because he is light, And then he says, the prince of this world, we know that's not a godly being, right? That's the spirit of the world, the spirit of the devil. The spirit of the devil is coming, and he has nothing in me. In other words, the spirit of this world, the prince of this world, will work darkness into you if he can. And then if he has darkness in you, he'll use that darkness to control you or to influence you, or if you'll let him go all the way with it, to possess you. But Jesus says, I'm leaving the earth, and the prince of this world's coming, but he has nothing in me. You know, there's no darkness in the light. There's no darkness in Jesus Christ. There's no place, a shadow of turning. There's no place where you can say, well, you know, God's good and sometimes evil. He's saying God is always good all the time, everywhere, every part of him. You can't find any darkness in him. Amen. So when we're talking about God is light, it always begs the question of, well, then what is darkness? Well, just the very definition of darkness means the absence of light. You know, I hope that when you get a chance to listen to this podcast, that you create yourself a little Bible study yourself and look these things up and ponder on them and consider them. Amen. This is how you grow in the things of God. I'm going to jump over now to Luke chapter 22, verse 52 and 53. This is Jesus in the garden. He's about to be arrested, or is underway with the arrest, and they're going to take him before Pontius Pilate. And verse 52 reads, then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come out to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves? When I was daily with you in the temple, Jesus speaking now, he says, ye stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. Jesus is identifying the power of darkness. We know some things about the power of light, but the power of darkness is the force that's coming against him through the chief priests, through the captains of the temple, the elders. And he's saying that the power of darkness is dealing with them, and it is their power. This is the power of darkness. It's manifesting in these souls. Now, Scripture says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world. So here he is wrestling about, and he's about to be wrestling with these guys, and they're just his own people. I mean, they're the Jews, the Israelites. And they're coming out to arrest him. And he said, you didn't do anything when I was in the temple. You didn't come after me in the temple. But I recognize that this is the power of darkness. You know, I don't think of darkness as having a power other than darkness. I mean, the absence of light is its only power. But here, Jesus is saying, the power of darkness is what's motivating you to arrest me, to take me before Pilate, and to have me crucified. If Jesus gives an example of the power of darkness and he says, these guys are motivated to arrest me and charge me with every kind of false crime and everything, and that is the power of darkness. So there's a power in darkness that will influence people's minds to act in a certain way, and that is very much like a demon possession. It's very much like a demonic influence. And so he's saying, this is the power of darkness. Manifesting. Amen. Okay, I want to go back to 1 John again. And in this summary of John, 1 John chapter 1, we said, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And light is a concept in and of itself. If there was absolutely no light in this world, people would fumble around and blindly bump into stuff and couldn't function. Wouldn't know what to do, wouldn't be able to see anything, wouldn't be able to do anything. And that is very similar to going through this world or walking your life through this world without the light of Jesus Christ in your life. You'll bump around and fumble into things and stumble around and never get any progress in your spiritual life because you can't see nothing. Now the Scripture says, the entrance of his word bringeth light. It brings understanding to the simple. So the light that is in Jesus Christ what is that light? What is it that he's saying will help us to understand, help us that we don't bump into dumb things, help us that we don't stumble and fall? What is that light? What is that message that he's brought to us? The message that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And 1 John 3:11 reads this way, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." That's the light message. If we would love one another, this is the message that comes from the Father and the Son, to love one another. Amen. And I'll say it without breaking the scripture anyway, that is the power of God. The power of darkness would arrest Jesus and have him crucified. The power of light is eternal life, the presence of God, the power of God present in your life, the life of God in your life. Amen. You know, it was broad daylight when the evil people are making their decisions and what have you. It's daylight. It's not night darkness. It's not that kind of darkness. The darkness that Jesus is referring to is not the power of lack of light in the physical sense. It's the power of lack of light in the divine sense. If God is light and you're lacking or don't have that, then you're in darkness. And if you're in darkness, you're in darkness in the spiritual realm. You're in darkness in eternal life. Jesus and the Father is the way to eternal life. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life." And the powers of darkness block you from seeing that entrance. They block you from walking into that presence of God and living out his eternal life on this earth. Amen. I'm ready to jump to another scripture. Are you ready? Psalms 91. Psalms 91, I've heard stories about, especially in the military, people in the military that have their pocket New Testament, and they read Psalms 91. It's a psalm of protection. It's a place where God brings you his refuge. He brings you into a place where you're safe. Amen. I've heard stories of military people that have anchored themselves on this scripture and found the protection of God in a miraculous way. There was a way prepared for them when there seemed to be no way. Amen. This is the power of the gospel of God. The power of the promises of God are won for us, manifest for us, as we manifest his word. Amen. Let me just read a couple of verses out of Psalm 91. Verse 3 says, "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." Verse 4, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday." Verse 6 reads, "Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness." You see, God is light. Pestilence doesn't walk where God is. Pestilence doesn't walk where God is. But it does walk in darkness. If you're living manifestation of darkness, pestilence can walk right in with you. You know, and then the next part of that verse 6 says, "Nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday." See, it's not the physical light that means anything. The noonday would be the highest of physical light in the earth. That's not the darkness he's talking about. The darkness he's talking about is the wickedness of people or spirits that function without light, i.e. without God. Amen. It goes on to say, "A thousand shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto thee." The reason it shall not come close to you is because you're not in the darkness. You're a light bringer. Amen. You are in Christ, and he is the light. He's the light that lights every man that comes into the world. You know, I think the biggest failure in Christianity is to interpret the scripture according to the natural. The New Testament is anchored in the spiritual. It's all about the spiritual. And the spiritual understanding of the scripture is what we need to understand the scripture. The old covenant was not spiritual in direct. It was indirectly spiritual, but it was not directly spiritual. It was directly obedience. But now in the new covenant, it's directly spiritual. Amen. You know, the concept of the whole armor of God is talking about when you live light, if you have God's word in as a protection of your whole body, the word of God is the armor of God. It says so in Romans, let me get to that chapter. It's in Romans 13:12. This is Paul wrote to the Romans, and he said in verse 12, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." You see, if you put on the armor of darkness, then pestilence walks with you. If you put on the armor of light, no dark thing has fellowship with you. You don't share your world with the powers of darkness because you live in the light. Therefore, you share with whomever is a light bringer. And we just read in 1 John chapter 1 that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And I think if I could live my life in light and have no darkness in my life, I would walk healed in Jesus' name. Now, I know it's not that simple, but that's the overall concept. That's the concept that we have to live by. And you know, when you believe God and believe his word, you will be tested, you will be challenged or confronted or examined to see, do you really believe it? And we say, yes, Lord. Amen. You know, we are actually in some kind of a warfare going on this planet Earth. There's powers of darkness at work, and there's the powers of light at work. And as we make our choice to walk in the light, as he is in the light, we begin to manifest the power of light, the power of God's kingdom begins to manifest and grow stronger and stronger in our lives. And by the fact of the light getting stronger, the darkness will automatically get dimmer. Amen? And if you look on the opposite end of that thing, the more darkness you put into your life, the less light you have in your life. But the more light you put into the world, the more your life will be lit by the life of God. And his life is eternal life. It's a battle. God says we win because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm going to jump to a quick verse in Revelations chapter 21. Revelations chapter 21. I'm going to read two verses. It says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." The next handful of verses in this chapter talk about the glory of God that's in the temple and in the new city. There's actually not a temple in that new city, so I apologize for stating it that way, but there is the gates of pearl and the city four square and all those things. But in verse 22, it says, "I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it." Huh. There's not going to be a physical temple with bricks and mortar, per se. But the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Verse 23, "And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Wow, if we're in a battle right now where God is light, and in him is no darkness at all, and at the end of the battle, no darkness has any power anywhere, the only thing that's left is the light of God, and he said the light that lights the city is the Lamb of God, is the glory of God. He's what lights the new city. Astounding, isn't it? But right now, we're still in the battle. We're still in a fight. And it's important for us to put on the armor of light. Amen. That armor will protect you. The light will protect you. Psalm 91 is that psalm of protection. And the destruction of the power of darkness will be no more. The destruction that walks in darkness will be no more, because there will be no more darkness. Amen. Well, we're about out of time. I'm going to read one more verse and close. And that verse is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me just read this and think about the power of darkness, the power of light. Think about the concept. This is like a parable. Jesus taught in parables because it's a parallel concept. But listen to the words, and I'm closing right after I read this. I'm reading 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, 5, and 6. Or 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. The light of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you all for listening. Tune in next week. God bless you. Amen.